You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today's episode is brought to you by The Bike Riders, a new film from Jeff Nichols starring Jodie Comer, Austin Butler, and Tom Hardy. Inspired by true events, The Bike Riders follows Benny, played by Austin Butler, the newest member of Midwestern motorcycle club The Vandals, led by the enigmatic Johnny, played by Tom Hardy. Critics are calling it electrifying, stunning, exhilarating, powerful, and the godfather of biker movies. Experience The Bike Riders on the big screen this summer. Now playing only in theaters. Visit BikeRidersMovie.com to get tickets now.
Another amazing Cooligans podcast in your ear, on your eyes, in your eyes.
On there, okay.
On there,
be careful. Be careful where you put it.
Don't blink, bro.
What's good, everybody? Welcome to...
It's the Cooligans, buddy.
We got a killer show today.
We got a guest, bro.
We got a guest. We my man came through from the Major League Soccer offices, which are nearby.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Okay.
We're inside.
We held a boombox outside of the MLS office, so he came down.
And it was just the Cooligans episode blasting.
Okay, it's in your eyes.
look at.
But we are going to be joined by Ali Curtis. He is the senior vice president of MLS Next Pro, but you may also remember him as the general manager for the New York Red Bulls. He also was
Toronto FC
sporting director of Toronto FC. So this man has built some clubs. And he is, now involved in building the future of Major League Soccer. Mm-hmm. So he's going to be coming through in a minute, and we'll talk about that.
I think it's safe to say this is the wildest interview he's ever done.
without a doubt, yeah. This happens all the time where people, high up people, executive people, come in and meet us, and they're initially like, okay, they ask their hand, they're like, what'd you get me into? You see it in their eyes.
They look at them like, you told them how much? 20? Tell them we only got 5. But then they warm up.
They warm up and they're like, okay, this is now the best interview I've ever done.
I think
done.
We put a lot of pressure on people. They think they have to come in and be funny. I'm like, no, we'll take care of it.
Nah, bro,
we know none of you are funny.
then he turned out to be really funny.
He was hilarious. Yeah, so, it was a lot of good time.
So we'll talk to him a little bit about the MLS Next Pro playoffs that are happening this weekend. A lot to go over with him. But we have to start today's show by talking about FIFA, because FIFA is out here trying to... Okay. That's when you say FIFA, you can't say FIFA without.
Yeah.
All right, that's just the rule.
By the way, we're gonna talk about. Oh.
You gotta give it a second till the whole time.
FIFA.
Okay, this is the documentary. Yeah.
What has FIFA done now?
FIFA has decided when it comes to the next World Cup, the 2030 World Cup, on who will host it, and this is a. We'll go down the whole rabbit hole, but
and everybody eats.
Everybody eats because Morocco, Portugal, and Spain will host the 2030 World Cup with Uruguay, Argentina, and Paraguay hosting the first 3 games to mark the tournament's 100-year anniversary.
Which I get. Look, Uruguay hosted the first ever tournament in 1930.
Uh-huh.
Right? USA finished third. Okay. Finished third, England. Okay. 100 years.
Yeah.
Give them a little bit of an, hey, muchísimas gracias. You know what I mean?
Okay,
hey, thank you.
Just a
you
little
will.
Like, hey, I remembered your birthday.
Yeah. Well, you think we forgot your 100-year birthday, Grandma? No, we're here.
Why am I a terrible grandson? No, we're never.
Come on, Gam Gam. You know?
Is that what we're calling the World Cup now, Gam Gam?
That's the MLS World Cup, bro.
The World Cup. The
you think I forget my babushka?
The Viejita World Cup.
I will eat the World Cup. But first of all, how does Paraguay get into this?
Well, was Paraguay one of the host nations?
Never.
I don't know.
Not that I know of.
I don't know all the details of why these.
How many stadiums Paraguay got that can host the World Cup? Two?
Right. So, well, look, but the plan here is for those three countries
to appease
for their first 3 games. It'll host it in those countries. So obviously they play those games in South America and then
in the winter.
In the is that what it is? In the
winter, it's a summertime tournament.
Oh, that's right. South America. It's their winter.
It's winter.
So they were going to be flying after those initial matches. They're gonna be
vete pa carajo, bro. Because now you go all the way across the planet.
Yeah, and a lot of these players play in Europe, so they go to South America, play one game,
and travel doesn't take anything out of players.
All the way back to another continent. It sounds like a pretty dumb plan. I mean, with not taking into much consideration the, you know, what the players have to go through to do this, but they see that, you know, just they see the dollar signs, and obviously the more World Cups locations, the more opportunity to make money. It feels fairly obvious that this is nothing but that.
But I think in this theory is not brand new. I'm not the first one to suggest this. Nico mentioned it on the show. We've seen a couple of TikToks and Instagram accounts that have mentioned this as well. It seems like a way to sort of appease South America so that now the U.S. has had their World Cup. North America's had a World Cup. South America's had a World Cup. Europe just had another World Cup. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Africa got in there because of Morocco. They're like, all right, I guess the only place left is Saudi Arabian money, baby. Let's go,
bro. It's starting to feel. I mean, I'm sure it always was kind of like this, but all I picture is like the, you know, when the mama bird is trying to feed the little baby birds, and the little baby birds, they just want.
You speaking my language, Christian.
But it's just like this is all the top FIFA, all the confederations. Like, mama, give us a little bit, mama. Mama, Infantino, just put it right in my mouth, please. I need a little bit.
Can we isolate that?
Yeah, that was some bad sound for you, Christian.
Yeah. No, if I was Mace and or Cameron, I right now would say pause,
bro. No, bro. I mean, also, what? It's they're adults. How was this? The whole show is a pause show. That show is ridiculous. I mean, I did when in my 20s.
Yeah,
I hit everybody with the pause. That was the culture.
You were getting paused left and right,
bro.
I had gay friends that were pausing people.
Yeah,
it was just a thing.
It was a thing you did. I
but you know what we did is we grew out of it.
But no, Mace and Cameron did not. But this, I don't know if I mentioned.
There's a much bigger audience than
I worked at Sean John Diddy's clothing company, right?
Nobody's ever heard this story before.
But no, but we had in the mail room, there we had a pause wall. Like, no, I didn't work in the mail room, but like in the mail room, there was a pause wall. So I had post-its.
Or did you?
Oh, boy. Oh.
Pause.
I was just going to say.
Did I create the pause? So anytime anyone in the office said something pause-worthy, it would be written on a post-it note.
Pausable?
Pausable, right? And it would be put on this post-it on the wall all over the mail room. So all over the mail room, there's post-its. And it became a pause museum, bro.
Yeah.
And you would go and you'd be like, yo.
They got stanchions.
Yeah. You would be like,
what's one that you remember? Do you remember one?
And so the one
I know that would be
biggest,
one.
The biggest ones, pause.
Put it on the wall.
Got laminated. The best ones got laminated. And
this is
I'm not gonna say his name. I'm not gonna say the guy who said
what
it.
What an actual horrific use, misuse this
was,
of
it was like an
office.
It was like an A&R for Bad Boy that said this, but it was laminated, had his photo, and it was a printed picture. And it said, it was winter. It was a snowstorm, and my man he walked into the mailroom and said, "Damn, it's looking like we're getting 12 inches tonight." Everybody lost their minds.
Look, you could have a nun in there. And she would laugh.
And they laminated it.
Yeah, you got like, laminated that.
You get an award. It's a trophy.
We are we might bronze this.
Yeah, we need to do an award ceremony.
Yes.
To, you know, to get like the Vanguard Award like MTV gives away, bro.
I'll give you my biggest pause. I was hanging out at a pizza shop where people who still use pause hang out.
Yeah.
And somebody was like, yo, I'm Muslim and I want to eat some of the pizzas you have, but I can't eat pork because of this the pepperoni and the sausage is also pork. So I brought chicken sausage for you to try. Very popular in the black community in the West Coast, chicken sausage. So they said, all right, we'll make a pie. And he goes, yo, he knew I hung out there. He's like, yo, you want to try it? I grabbed a slice, I ate it, I was like, yo, I'm out. by the way, sir, thank you for letting me try your sausage.
And the way innocent enough,
people
right?
in the back, the kitchen, people in the front, dudes waiting outside behind the window on the window precisely. People at the bus, pause.
My man was throwing up the pizza and just let it drop. He couldn't.
He literally paused.
I got hit with pause like this.
Yeah, Bishop just violently yelling pause at you, bro.
Yeah, yeah. As I walk down the street.
Dude, classic. But we got over it.
Yeah. We move on.
Okay?
Bro, that was the longest tangent we've ever done. That was hilarious.
But this is now the conspiracy theory time. You mentioned Saudi Arabia, but this is why people think that the World Cup is going to be hosted in 6 different countries.
Are we on the Polanco Rogan experience right now?
Okay. Let me tell you why this vaccine is a problem.
Okay. I don't need it. I'm a superhuman. Maybe okay. You do.
Buy ivermectin like a real man.
Yeah. Or horse.
Anyway. So the suggestion and shout out to the homie Danny Navarro on at Travel Football Fan, because he had mentioned this as well. But he did a great video on TikTok
does a great job with his videos.
Look up the FIFA math, and when it comes to getting information on how to travel to World Cups, Danny's great with that stuff, and he's great on TikTok. So at Travel Football Fan, but he mentioned the Saudi Arabia element, but basically by having it in 6 countries, you have it in Morocco, Africa.
Yeah, so, just mention this. You cover everything but Asia and Oceania.
Right. So then there's not many countries left that could even host a 48-team World Cup. New Zealand, that wouldn't be realistic. Just countries too small. So the idea is, who's left, right?
Right?
And it's like, yo, Saudi Arabia made a bid. And they announced it at the same day that that Saudi Arabia is trying to get the 2034 World Cup. So as soon as they announced this, Saudi Arabia's like, hey, also, yeah, we're kind of interested. Yeah,
I don't know if you heard.
About the 2034 World Cup.
We're big on soccer.
Right, yeah. So and the reason they
we're willing to change it to soccer Arabia.
So the rule is that they confederations or continents can't host World Cups either 2 times in a row or 3 times in a row or something like that. Like there has to be gaps between how many times they can host.
So they're like, oh, our hands are tied.
There's nobody left besides Saudi Arabia. And then that obviously brings up another.
You want to know my other conspiracy theory? Okay.
I want to know.
Neymar, who's he played for before Al Hilal?
PSG.
And it's owned by who?
The Saudis.
No. Qataris.
The Qataris.
Oh, okay.
And $222 million. That money came from the owners. They gave it to Neymar to buy himself out of his contract.
Uh-huh.
And the way they said, here's what the $222 million for, is so that you can represent the country as an ambassador for the World Cup. Right? Qatar gets the World Cup. Now he gets sold to where?
I don't know. Where would he get sold?
He just got sold to Al Hilal.
Okay.
Which is owned by the
Saudis.
Saudis, yes. And who is trying to get the World Cup?
The Saudis.
Ah.
So you think Neymar is just like a money laundering tool to decide who gets the World Cup?
That's what I'm trying to get.
That's a crazy take. I haven't heard that one before.
This is my take, is that Neymar, or maybe not, I wouldn't say money laundering, but Neymar is the tool by which you use to fish for FIFA executives.
Interesting.
That is the bait at the end of the line.
Got it. I mean,
I've never heard that one before. That would be interesting.
I mean, it's another on-brand ridiculous thing Alexis said. So he got it. My first thought, and I had tweeted this, I was just like, well, FIFA is trying to recoup some of the EA money that they lost. I mean, like they are going to do more ridiculous things to try to
have their own game coming out.
They do, which I mean,
you know, that's going to be trash.
Do we know? Can we trust? Who's going to be creating this game? Yeah, I mean, Konami made,
Pez is done, which is now eFootball.
eFootball, which
terrible name.
And I get people are frustrated with EA or EAFC or, but I mean, it's the best It's basically a simulator now. It's the best game. I mean, I'm not saying it's perfect, but it's the best game of soccer that we've video game of soccer that we've ever seen. Yeah. I mean, like, it's like anything. It's just they build the game and they have to like work on it year in, year out. But bro, until somebody like PES was actually really competitive
PES
for a long time.
PES was the first place.
I played Winning 11, bro, before it was PES.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Winning 11 soccer.
I'm so young.
We have gotten so far away from the World Cup conversation.
I'm just saying, but it all connects. I'm just because it brings in money for FIFA. You saying,
It starts at the top.
This is the conspiracy theory segment of today's Cool
Games episode. So it's a frustrating scenario. I mean, for
remember when we hosted the ICC tournament in Charlotte? And they were like, oh, by the way, we have the video game station. You could play soccer.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, yo, you got FIFA? And they go, no, ICC tournament is in PES. So we have Pro Evolution Soccer. And I was like, well, nobody want to play it. Dusty.
You got to be a diehard, like, kind of nerd.
You got to be a diehard preseason tournament fan. Like, I love when the starters play 45 and we get to see the kids in a highly overpriced atmosphere in the Midwest.
Bro, Lionel Blessy, that's my favorite player.
Know, right? Oh, man. Dude. So, look, I don't.
You know what my favorite player is? Brazilian forward.
Number nine.
You already know what I'm talking about, bro.
With a very unambiguous face. Dude.
Yeah, French winger. Are you kidding me, bro?
So
my favorite player, bro. He's Kieran Trippier's son. Favorite player.
So even just forget 2034, but even just 2030, just getting this news it's kind of wild. It's kind of frustrating, given that we don't even have a location for the Women's World Cup in 2027. So what? How are they working on this and don't have a location for the 2027 Women's World Cup?
That's crazy. And the next one after the 2036 Saudi Arabia, we're pretty sure of that.
34
Saudi Arabia, 38. Where are you going to do it? You did it all.
The moon, dude.
Which means Neymar's going to sign for the aliens, bro.
Okay. I think we're overusing this button.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Might be a problem now.
Bro, Neymar's going to sign for... That's why we found out about the aliens, bro. He's going to sign with the Martians, the Monstars. Oh, dog.
We figured it all out. That's why you come here.
That's why, bro. Why are you listening to the Pez of the podcasts, bro?
This is where it's at. Where
Dusty has Pez,
get all your information. All right, let's get to our conversation with Ali Curtis.
Well, before we do that, why don't we chill a little bit?
We got to chill because it's getting...
getting crazy. We overused the button.
You overused the button.
We need to chill.
It required us to move on to the ad read. That's how much you use the button.
I don't know what you're talking about, Avery, because I simply want to talk about retiring and chilling in the fall.
We love the fall just like everybody else does.
Everybody thinks when you think about the fall, the first thing you think about is what are the Cooligans drinking?
And we know we do it with an ice cold Coors.
In fact, in the Ali Curtis interview, you will see that we asked him about a rough situation in his career and what did you do after, and I would have had a nice cold drink. And what I would have done, because I would have wanted to relax, and this is what I do, bro. I would kick my feet up. I chill. You know what I mean? And when I want to chill, what do I think about? I think about cracking open a nice, cold, crisp Coors Light.
That's the move. Obviously, because the mountains tell the mountains guide us, give us direction in life, because they turn nice and blue when we know it's cold enough to drink.
And this is what we should do for our guests. When we have guests come in the studio, we'll put little blue mountains on our foreheads just so they know, hey. Oh, these guys are chill.
Okay. You guys are ready to go. I can talk to them now. All right.
Cold, crisp, cold Christian.
So Coors Light is the one we choose when we need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/Cooligans.
That's CoorsLight.com/Cooligans. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
All right. Ali Curtis, Senior Vice President of MLS Next Pro. We had a great conversation with him about the upcoming playoffs. So here it is. Here's our conversation with Ali Curtis.
We are audiostack.ai.
Combining AI writing, the best synthetic voices,
with production and delivery.
Be it ads, podcasts, or VOs for video.
Just like this ad. How would you utilize AI audio? for free.
Go to audiostack.ai/contest.
Give us just a few details.
And you could replace this spot and be heard by millions.
See webpage for T's and C's. audiostack.ai/contest.
I mean, illustrious guests.
Look at this. And this is the best kind of scenario. Now that our studio is not too far from Major League Soccer's offices. So this is...
And they have asked us to move.
They have asked us.
They said further is what we would prefer.
You're sort of encroaching on our space.
I don't know if you remember that restraining order.
but Major League Soccer's offices are just a couple blocks from us.
Yeah, so we said, send us your execs.
Exactly.
We don't want to talk to junior vice presidents. We want your senior vice president. We want someone influential, someone who knows their way around a PowerPoint presentation.
Okay, and this man is someone who's, especially in the last 20 years of Major League Soccer, has been heavily involved in the growth of the game, and from the player side, and the front office
and
side.
And also, us being Caribbeans, this man was essential in hiring someone that is big for our culture.
That's right. We'll get to that.
That's right. We will get there. Ladies and gentlemen, who we're talking about is senior vice president. Have some respect. I hope you wore a suit to listen to this episode, or else you will be sent home. It is three-piece. I want to see a vest. Men, women, children, everybody, put on a goddamn suit. Ladies and gentlemen, the senior vice president of MLS Next Pro, Ali Curtis, everybody.
Ali, what's up, man?
What's up? What's up? Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for coming through. Yeah, this is a big time, I think, for Major League Soccer, for MLS Next Pro, and for you. Being the senior vice president of MLS Next Pro, I think there's a lot, given that it's a very new entity, there's a lot going on, and it requires someone with some vision, some direction. And they said, Ali's the man.
They couldn't find him. But then,
so they went through a whole bunch of people.
But then
they said, who do we have left?
Who's willing to say
we'll take
yes
him
to this?
Well, he'll play for us. You know?
No, but it must be some point of pride to be involved in the next generation of professional Major League Soccer players, for you to help develop that.
Yeah, you know, I grew up, you know, playing the game, loving the game. So being involved in the game is a special thing. And, you know, everybody, you do things that you're passionate about. And then you hope that at the end of the career, you had an impact, you know, in all ways, you know, whether that's on the field, off the field, and we're passionate about different things and, you know, soccer and things off the field that I am as well. So it's great. I'm glad I'm here.
Okay. Now, I gave you credit for something when we started. I'll tell you a quick story. I'm stand-up comedian. I'm headlining in Long Island. I'm performing. I do one or two soccer jokes. Most people don't get. So you can't get too specific. If I'm like, how much TAM did you pay for these tickets? They're not going to get it. So you got to be very general.
Got to be GAM.
Yeah.
General. You knew it had to be GAM. throwing them off with the TAM.
Very funny. I was too specific. Wait till we get to UTPs. You guys are just not going to get it. Yeah. So I make a couple soccer jokes. As I'm leaving, a woman grabbed with a heavy Long Island accent, grabs my arm and says, "You really a big soccer fan?" And I said, yes, I am. She goes, maybe you've heard of my son. He works for the Red Bulls. And I said, oh, yeah, who's your son? She goes, Chris Armas. So I was like, oh, my God, I have heard of him. Yeah, he's the head coach. I go, he's the first Puerto Rican head coach. It's huge. I'm Cuban. He's Dominican. Typically, you don't have a soccer podcast when you're Cuban and Dominican. I'm like, bro, that meant so much. She goes, he's also half Cuban. So you, if I'm not mistaken, you hired him as a head coach, right? Gave him his first job as a head coach in MLS.
I hired him as an assistant coach when I was at Red Bull, and then hired him as head coach when I was in Toronto. Chris is a great coach and a special human being. So I've got nothing but love for Chris. And his family.
Wait, that's the wrong button. Round of applause. Yeah. You hired the first Cuban.
Yeah. It also makes me wonder, why did he take the step down and go to Manchester United?
Oh, God. Ryan, what's wrong?
You know, it's never linear, never north and south. So, you know, he had to take a little bit. Take a left.
No. Well, tell him we said he's got to be on the show.
Exactly.
Bro.
Yeah.
Make him some arroz con pollo.
I'll pick up the phone. Hopefully I get a text from him and he's watching this. So.
There you go.
Hopefully. Yeah. Well, I mean, given that it's your time with Red Bull, being you were the GM You also the first African American GM for I think in Major League Soccer, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes. Huge trailblazer.
Yeah,
that's, another round of applause. And you know what? I'll give it to you. It's America.
You know what? You earned it. You earned it. But that is
in top of your CV now. Yeah. I got an Eagle Screech
on the Cooligans podcast.
You might have heard
in a country in the United States, this is often in a part of the discussion about how much participation there is at higher levels with African American players, especially when it comes to front office. You see less and less people that are African American. What did that moment mean to you then and now?
It was amazing for me, you know, amazing for my family. I think it was, looking back, I think it was a real, it's an amazing moment for the sport. You know, when you think about representation and access, you know, when I was growing up, I would read books about Pelé, and it was amazing for me because I got to read about this guy who was the best player to ever play the sport, in my opinion, and he looked like me. And so that was inspiring, and it made me want to play the game. And so, you know, when you think about moving things forward in whatever industry, you know, you've got to be able to see success and see, you know, who you want to be, or, you know, what heights you can take it to. And, you know, when you think about, hey, I'd love to get that job, or I'd love to get that opportunity, and seeing someone that kind of looks like you, or maybe they were from the same neighborhood or the same town or went to the same school or whatever it is, or, you know, it's that's empowering and that's inspiring. So I'm happy to be part of that journey. We still have a lot of work to do, but that was an amazing moment. It was a great opportunity. I loved it. Started off tough, but it was nothing but good. And, you know, again, you know, I talked a little bit about passion, about being involved in soccer. I love the game, all that type of stuff. It's great to work in the game. It is an honor and a privilege. I loved working at Red Bull. We had some great teams. We had some unbelievable personalities. We talked a little bit about Chris, all that stuff. But being black in this sport is special. We still have a lot of work to do. We've come a long way. And, you know, I some of my work has been in front of the camera, especially when I was at Red Bull and all these other things. But then a lot of that work, it gets done behind the scenes, and just trying to make progress. I mean, and it's not just, you know, it's not just black folks. It's, you know, we've got a lot of different groups that deserve representation and access, and it's important that we do everything we can to make it better for the next person. And, you know, I've got kids, and so all these things mean more to me now than they've ever have. So yeah. And, you know, when I think about, you know, I joined the league, I think, in 2001, and things have come a long way, you know, not just on the diversity, equity, and inclusion front, but in I mean, you look at the stadiums, you look at the quality, you look at everything. So we all have to do our part.
Yeah, I think that was important for me when I first saw, like, Guatemoc Blanco play. And I'm not Mexican, but I am fat. So when I saw him play, it made me feel
like
I got a shot.
Come on, man.
I felt like I got a shot. No.
He's an
exceptional talent. He's a joke.
You can't be doing my God Blanco like that.
He's a joke. I would never say it to his face, by the way. But these are just jokes. But no, I think it is important. And that's why I think the next step, Christian and I have voiced our frustration on this show many times. We've been here since 2015. We've seen a lot of players that potentially could be dual nationals pick a different nation because they felt their representation wasn't there, whether it came from the national side. Or we've met folks that are really good at the sport but think, there's no future for me. I remember when I was young, everybody who played it was like a very suburban. I grew up in an inner city where that stuff didn't happen. It was the Portuguese and Brazilian kids in the Ironbound section. They were the ones who were playing. The Jamaicans and the Trinidadians and the Grenadians were playing up by me. But there was no one that had to help bridge that gap to make me think like I would have a future in the sport. And you could see I wouldn't have had a future. But they at least made me think I would have had. You are now working with the youth side a bit more in MLS Next Pro. There is a bit more a younger sort of group there. Are you seeing now that the ratios are starting to slide a bit more to a general view or a general ratio of what the representative sort of nationalities are within the United States?
You know, I think it's evolving, but we still have a lot of work to do. you know. Captain of the national team, Tyler Adams, you know, former Red Bull player. I had him. He was my first homegrown signing.
Just to Wappingers Falls.
There's still, you know, when you think about socioeconomic class and where kids come from, and you think about all the different teams, the top elite teams and all these types of things, you think about who's playing it at the professional level, domestic players, those types of things, versus what's happening in potentially some other countries. We've come a long way. We still have work to do also as it pertains to, the game is not just about players, you know, it's also about coaches and it's about athletic trainers and the grounds crew and all these types of things. They kind of contribute to the game and the ecosystem, and we still have work to do.
Should we become coaches, man?
I think that's what Ollie's saying.
Ollie's like, bro, we need you as an athletic trainer.
But it's changing.
I'll wear a shirt that says don't.
I think this is, we probably need, several hours to kind of ask all the questions when it comes to just pay to play and just development. And we've had these conversations for years, but I think that in the minimal amount of time, because I want to talk about MLS Next Pro.
It's huge.
I do want to just simply ask, like, as far as one of the main things on top of mind for you of like, this is, when I'm done with this job, this is the thing I want to accomplish. What is that for you when it comes to development of soccer in this country?
There's not one thing, but what I would say is that, we've been trying to kind of develop MLS Next Pro kind of underneath these four kind of core principles or core pillars. Some of those pillars are diversity, equity, inclusion. Some of them are innovation. Innovation, we've been able to implement some new on-field rules, which have been amazing to help kind of evolve the game. The game was created 100 years ago, rules 100 years ago. And so can we evolve it to the modern game? And as part of that innovation, we created a new playoff format, playoff structure. We're kind of in the middle of it right now. It's gone well thus far, and we're really happy and we're excited about what's happening. The more we can add to what we're doing, the more it's going to help the game, grow the game, help players, give them opportunities, competitive opportunities. So, I'd love to have, it's not one thing, but you want to have impact,
Right, yeah. Right.
We've seen a clip of sort of the coaches getting to pick their opponent.
Yeah,
for the
this playoff format is one of
the... But I want to ask Coach, before we get to that, where did that come from? Was that like a conference room meeting where people are pitching ideas, or...
We said, hey, innovation is a big part of what we want to do. And so last year, we formed this on-field innovation committee. It has about 11 representatives
this
from the teams.
This is where we need to join.
I think we need 13 representatives.
Or we could share a seat. Or
maybe advisory members. And we said, and also like around the league, we said, hey, we're open for business. If you have an idea, and we all are fans of not just soccer, but also other sports, mm-hmm. and you watch things, you follow things, especially as fans, and you say, why does that happen? And why can't we do this a different way? And it's just so hard to change things.
Give us one idea that everyone was like, absolutely not. Just one idea where as soon as it was said, everyone's like, you're not allowed to speak for 20 minutes.
That's every idea. it really is. Right. It's like these are the hard... I know how to go into a room. I know how to go into a meeting room, manage it, all these types of things. The most difficult conversations that I've had have been around new rules, like evolving.
Changing the
game
in any way.
Because people don't want to do it.
They hate it.
And so it's, it is a real process. And so the new playoff format, that was part of the conversation. Hey, these are some of the areas that we want to improve in. And then, this is something that's been talked about for a long time, or we've internally a little bit. But then one of our clubs, one of the CSOs at one of the clubs says, hey, why don't we do this playoff format? And we worked with him and the committee to evolve the concept or the idea to make it a real initiative, and poof.
Yeah.
And
it's provided some incredible moments, right? Already in just the...
Also the cast of characters. These are
Benny,
former pros.
Benny
so
Fellhaber, who we've had on the show, great dude. And he went viral for the wrong reasons, right? Yes. Because he did he picked a tougher opponent in picking in this playoff format.
Around and find out.
he picked Austin FC 2 and said scared money don't make money. And he left with nothing. Yeah, he had no money.
Turns out it was scared crypto. He lost the money.
But this is great because if we would have had a traditional playoff format, we wouldn't have had kind of these moments. And I think, you know, we were talking about that because there's no way the team that gets picked can be flattered that you're getting picked, right? It's like, oh, you're picking me because you think you can beat me. Right. So that
we call it the animosity format.
The angry. Yeah, you know? Yeah, yeah.
Speaking of Bradley Wright Phillips, he was not happy about it. What do you just talk about? Is this the result you wanted? This sort of, I don't know, that this viral back and forth that I think is drawing a lot more attention to the MLS Next Pro playoffs.
Yeah, a couple things. I think it does give a lot of storylines, you know, and a lot of headlines and a lot of motivation, you know, for teams and coaches to go out and prove things, you know, a different way, which is great. But I also think that when you think about the format, it also gives a little bit of a greater relevance to the regular season. So when you think about, hey, not only am I, you know, for the top seeds, not only will I be able to get a home game, but also I get to pick who I'm going to play against. So in that sense, it gives, from a competitive perspective, it adds a little bit more. It gives a little bit of a dimension to it. So thus far, it's gone really well. You know, people have been excited about it. We'll see, hopefully. You know, I think half the picks have been non-traditional. So, yeah, it's gone well.
Yeah. I mean, look, I mean, I just want to play a couple seconds of this. This is Bradley Wright Phillips because he's an assistant coach with New York Red Bull, too.
This is probably how he reacts to, like, losing at, like, Monopoly.
But you can see. You know.
Look, Brad is a good dude. Yeah, you know? Yeah, no, he's a good dude.
But you know these athletes. You are one of them. You lose at anything. Darts, you guys act like it's the end of the world. But I love this.
And the competitiveness even happens in this moment as well. This is great to see. It only is like 5-6 seconds.
We played already 3 times against Red Bull. We beat them. We want to play against the reigning champions.
I'm a little disappointed we weren't selected, but it is what it is.
Yeah, there's one part where they're like, how do you feel about not being selected? He's like, I'm going to text you. I can't say it.
He's telling Jaleel. Like, I can't talk
Jaleel about it. We're going to take this to the group chat.
I'm so angry. Yeah. I'm going to.
He was so mad at just not being picked.
In this scenario, not being picked is actually, you're
kind of flattering.
You're the most respected team by not being
picked.
You're
the picked. Most feared. No.
I mean, I could say a lot, but maybe you should call. No.
I got to get in this room.
There's a lot. You know, he did say. I mean, listen, I thought these. It's interesting. Listen, like I said, you know, what's said in those moments can provide some motivation, and it provides a little bit of something else, you know. So we like that, you know, and, you know, we'll see how the matchups play out. And to be honest with you, you know, I liked how Crown played all regular season. They deserve to have that opportunity to pick. But I like the way Red Bull's playing as well. I mean, they are a fierce team. I watched them in the last game. Ibrahim, head coach, you know, Bradley, assistant coach, really great. Two diverse coaches, both played for the club. You know, that's amazing, you know, to see those types of things. I think shows leadership. It shows the evolution of that club, the evolution of the sport, the game, the league, the enterprise, all that stuff. It's all good.
What is the goal of MLS Next Pro? Because what is it that you hope to grow? Is it really just that step before full pro top flight football? Is it a chance for youth players to get a dip their toe in professional atmosphere? Or is it really just to finish off and round off the development? What is the actual goal?
Lot of goals. At the end of the day, you know, for me as a fan, I want more better players, you know. So, you know, what that means, you know, that means a lot of things. So, you know, how can we expand into new markets that otherwise aren't MLS markets? You know, you see the Nashville team. They've moved their team into Huntsville, Alabama. You know, we're going to have a new team where Eddie Pope is going to be the CSO in High Point, North Carolina. High Point, North Carolina is not an area that we would be able to touch from a professional, from an MLS enterprise perspective. So being able to grow the game is huge. More players, more staff, building infrastructure, stadium, that type, all that stuff is great. And so 10, 15 years from now, you're going to look back and it's going to have impact, you know, from a fan perspective, on-field perspective, all those types of things. The rules, when I talk about innovation, implementing new rules that can help evolve the game, you'll see them in MLS. I think with this off-field treatment rule, with this time substitution rule, so on and so forth, you'll see it in the World Cup at some point. You are already seeing it in the Premier League. They've adopted the, you know, a version of the off-field treatment rule. Yeah. When we talk about DE&I and what that means in representation and access to our game and our sport, you'll see that. So that hopefully 5, 10, 15 from now, we're gonna look at something that looks a little bit different.
What is DE&I for the fans who don't
diversity,
we know?
Diversity, equity, and
inclusion.
DEI. It really, I mentioned something, you know, during the core months of the pandemic, we would have all these different Zooms. And I was like the only you look at the tiles and there's like 100 people on the tiles, but you're one of 100.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's not right. And so
it's Matt White is what you were saying. You can say it. I can say it. You can't. You can't, but we can say it.
You just didn't see many people who mirrored you know.
That's why we started this podcast.
We are evolving the game.
Yeah.
All right.
We're pushing forward.
My last question, when it comes to MLS Next has existed since 2022 or 2022.
Last year was the first season. This is the second season.
So what problems did MLS Next, their existence, fix? Like, or what are we sort of, I think you answered a couple of them already, but in your mind, just because we're always talking about, I think Americans tend to have this envy of like, you know, how can Manchester United, Chelsea, all these clubs build just constantly getting new players, incredible players, and there seems to be a system in place. Sorry about that. Wow. A system in place.
Popular. Getting text from Claire Fontaine.
Bradley.
Ask the question.
Bradley Wright Phillips.
Ask the question. Like, how you really?
He's going to get you.
he spit a couple lyrics and then exactly. Anyway, but what is the, we tend to have a lot of enemy, but it's like.
How do we beat the rest of the world?
Yeah. How do we get there?
Man, we got, that is a complex question that deserves a ton of conversation.
So I guess you got
to
come
back. Yeah, I would love to come back. And you know, what I would say is with MLS Next Pro, we're just getting started, you know, and we're trying to address some key issues, and doing everything we can to, you know, to throw paint at the wall to make sure that we can evolve the game. You know, I talk about, you know, we talk about key issues. How can we be the best? The best is not just, you know, winning the game on Saturday or whatever it is. But, you know, when I talk about innovation, making sure that these rules are fit the modern game for who we are, because different fans watch the game than they did 100 years ago in the same way. Different players play it. Different coaches coach it. The tactics are different. Everything about it, the stadiums are different. So how can we move this in a way that makes sense from a representation and access, innovation? You know, how can we engage other communities and all those types of things? You know, how can we develop players, more better players, you know, from the academy and MLS Next through MLS Next Pro into the first team? We've signed over, you know, I think through MLS Next Pro to date, we've signed over 60 players to first team contracts and those types.
That's amazing.
Over 100, you know, 100 to 150 players have been called up, you know, just on short-term agreements, playing in Champions League, Open Cup, all those types of things. So that is a really dimensional and complex question that requires what I would say solutions. You know, you talked about a little bit about of where you grew up and things like that earlier on in the conversation. I'm a big believer that, you know, not only do we need to expand the player pool from a youth perspective and those types of things, but also where are those players coming from? Yeah. You know, and when we think about socioeconomic class, access to the sport, you know, needing someone that looks like me playing that game so that I can aspire to be that, to be in that sport and those types of things. You know, I'm passionate about that as well. So we have our work cut out for us, but we have the opportunity. This country's big. We've got the resources. We've got the diversity. We've got the league, the leagues. So it's we got a lot of green space, and we have the World Cup coming here in 2026.
Yeah.
So, so the, you know, the, we gotta eyes go. Of the world on us. Yeah. I do have. I know you have to run, but I have two questions for you. Well, one question and a pitch. I got an idea.
Oh, okay, whenever okay. Alexis Ali, whenever Alexis says he's got a pitch for you, close your ears. It's a dangerous, dangerous predicament.
Do this, cup them because you want to take all this in. You know what I mean?
It's like a goal celebration. Yeah. You know?
I'm loud enough. I'll get it through. So I'll give you the pitch first, and then I'll ask you the question, which doesn't have anything to do with MLS Next Pro, but it does have a, something to do with your career. Here's my pitch. What if MLS just said, you know what, all domestic players, American and Canadian, only account for half of the budget, half of their pay goes toward, goes against the budget? Don't you think we'd develop more domestic players because you're allowed so to have more of them?
Salary cap. Give us more space in the salary cap.
Okay, so let me understand this correctly. So domestic players, U.S. and Canadian, they're regardless of how much you pay them.
Only half of it counts against your cap.
And then the rest of the
other than DPs, which is whatever that percentage is,
and then the rest of the cap goes towards international players.
Yeah,
and that would what I would say
you would be able to stack your team with more American and Canadian players.
So.
I told you, you have to close your ears when he gives you these ideas.
Like it's not that dumb. Because if he was like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
No, what I think is that, like, listen, at the end of the day, I think we all want more better players, right? Mm-hmm. So that we can have success at the highest levels. And from my perspective, that is not, there's no single solution that's going to just, you know, allow us to achieve that. You know, it's kind of like, you know, there's like, there's probably 3 to 5 key areas where you need to make, you know, where you need to make progress or evolve things. And then there's all these different objectives and different thresholds or milestones or things like that, that we need to improve. So there's just there's a lot of things that we can kind of get to work on, so to speak. And so that hopefully we're not having the same conversation 10 years from now.
You got to run for office.
Well, yeah,
I mean, well,
I've had this conversation with Alexis several times, and it's like, it won't work because there wouldn't be enough American players that are good enough to earn those contracts.
But then you would be inspired to develop them because it
only
counts for half.
But then the players who get signed, they're going to get signed only for so they can meet to balance the books. They're not going to get
people making money.
They're not going to get any minutes.
Wow, Christian pocket watching. We don't do that on the show.
They have to earn their spot just like everybody else.
He said it was a good idea. That's what I remember. That's how I remember. Okay. And here's my last question.
I'm just observing.
Here's my last question.
Popcorn.
If I remember. Remember your career correctly, you were a part of the now infamous town hall at New York Red Bull, correct? Okay, look at the smile that's
popping. I'm just going to look at the score. No,
we got to do this because, you know, you've broken our hearts as NYCFC fans several times.
7-0 in particular. Okay, New York Red Bull. I was there, him and I whistled the whistle. We didn't leave. But here's the real question I have. I'm not going to ask you about, you know, the back and forth, the fan base, because you can understand a fan base would be upset. No disrespect to Rebel fans in that case.
No question.
Here's my real question. Why you got to make Luis Robles sit through that? Why you got to make him sit through that, bro?
You know, in hindsight, what had happened was, you know.
That poor man.
Luis now works at MLS. So, yeah. Right. You know, we had, I think that was, man. That was a moment, you know, and like, to be honest with you, like, as I think about it, like, a lot of things went wrong, you know, but, you know, we were in a time where, like, hey, let's just try to, you know, we want to win. Let's try to do everything we can.
Props to you to say, let's get in the room with the fans and see what happens.
The only positive thing, is like fans are passionate. They love their club and they're willing to come out for their club. That place was packed.
Yeah.
Trust me, I know. I was there.
Here's my real question. What happened as soon as it was over?
As soon as it was over.
What did you do?
I went up to my office and I typed out Tyler Adams' contract.
Seriously?
So that's two so cool. things I said what happened was right after that ended, there was two things. So the first thing is I left, and then there was a brief meeting, I think, with some with maybe 3 or 4 people from supporter groups. And then I was so, like, you know, range of emotions. I said, all those things, you got to keep your legs moving. And I said, I need to do something positive. And so I went into my office and I typed out two contracts, one for Matthew Olisunde and one for Tyler Adams. Matthew ended up signing with Manchester United, and then Tyler Adams, you know, the rest is history.
Yes,
but
course.
That's what I did that night, and then I got home late, and that's what I did.
Amazing. Wow. Okay, well, something productive. Very productive that's, came from me.
That's so dope. That's really cool, because I'm thinking scotch.
you, like I said, you had to keep it. I mean, after I was done with the contract. Yeah. You know?
Ali Curtis, man, this has been an incredible experience. Everybody, the MLS Next Pro playoffs are happening. The second round happens this weekend. So it kicks off on Friday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, which you can watch on MLS Season Pass on Apple TV. So go check that out. This man is building something special. So
this was an honor.
Yeah,
no,
absolutely.
I appreciate you guys.
Ali, seriously,
no,
man. This
appreciate
is so cool.
You guys. Yeah, appreciate you guys. No doubt.
Ali Curtis, everybody.
Thanks, guys.
Shout out to Ali Curtis coming through.
What a great interview. It's very rare that we get someone that important.
Yeah, yeah. The important people usually tend to avoid
us. They're like, you know what? Let the riffraff do their show.
But that was really, really cool. So hopefully we get more of that in the future.
Absolutely.
You know, I hope we earned MLS Next credibility and
absolutely
just, and people want to come through. But shout out to Ali Curtis for coming through.
In fact, who's MLS Next to do our podcast?
Okay. Well, next
we need
up,
a rim shot.
Next up, let's talk about a couple things real quick. Kieran Trippier obviously played Newcastle right back.
Champions League back 20 years. St. James Park looked buzzing.
Newcastle, Newcastle fans were hype, fighting with some PSG fans in the street. Did you see that?
A little bit.
Okay.
A lot of beer getting thrown.
All right, yeah. So everybody keep it chill when you're out in Paris, bro. Yeah.
Don't be wasting that Coors Light on the streets of Paris, bro. Can't have it.
Your hat wouldn't have got flipped off if it was just the head of a little blue mountain.
So anyway.
Actually, those guys were chill as hell.
But,
and Newcastle fans, watch out when you go to Paris. We found out those ultras are very, very real.
Yes,
remember when the SWAT team showed up and I looked at Chris?
Yeah,
I'm like,
yeah.
Why are we on the side of the shield? I think, and Chris is like, what do you mean? I'm like, I literally picked up Christian and started walking. I'm like, we need to be behind the shields. We need to see the back of the SWAT team, not the front. The front seems like the part you point at the baddies.
We were just like, officer, je ne suis ultra.
No, we're not. Je ne suis. Hey, Cooligans. It's spelled with a C. I don't know if that's French.
So Newcastle absolutely demolished PSG in Champions League. I didn't see that coming. That was quite a surprise.
You saw Mbappe's face? He didn't see it coming either, bro. He was like, what the hell?
He's like,
why
can't I get by anybody?
He was like, bro, how come y'all aren't named Real Madrid?
What was the video that went viral of was it about Newcastle where Griezmann was playing Football Manager and he had like he had Newcastle as his team.
I'm not familiar with this video.
They were on a flight. It might have been Newcastle. I could be wrong, but it was basically Antoine Griezmann on they are obviously French teammates and they're going to a game. And he's like, oh, I'm playing Football Manager and you're on my team. He's telling Kylian Mbappe. And he's like, oh, what team? And he's like, oh, Newcastle. And he's like, what's Newcastle? He like didn't even know what
well,
it
now
was.
He knows.
And now that's what I'm saying. He is quite familiar with those Magpies.
He was like, this Dan Byrne guy is so fast, bro.
Bro,
what is going on?
It's so
on?
Funny, man. Imagine getting, if you're Kylian Mbappe and you're watching your team get scored on by Dan Byrne and Sean Longstaff. Longstaff and Byrne. It sounds like a law firm in the Midwest.
It's a Lord of the Rings character.
Yeah, or it sounds like the OnlyFans of a Lord of the Rings character.
Sure.
Byrne and Longstaff. Oh shit!
I'm on board.
Damn, all right, bro.
But one of the fun things at this moment, not for PSG, was Kieran Trippier's son. Mm-hmm. I always want to say Trippier, but it's Trippier.
It's not Trippier.
But his son,
you know what it reminds me? It reminds me how like Tekashi used to rap Trippy, with the blicky, sticky.
Okay, there it is. So we got this is on ESPN FC, but this is a comment from Kieran Trippier. He's talking about his son. He says, my son wanted to walk out with Mbappe instead of me. It was something I wasn't really happy with. He's always watching his clips on YouTube. I told him, if you walk out with him, don't look at me in the tunnel.
Such a bad. Bro, you're about to 2 foot his son. You know what you gotta do? You gotta leave this family. Bro, you gotta walk.
Pick a side right now.
No, if you're Kieran Trippier, you gotta leave. This kid gotta grow up alone, bro.
Oh, really? Wow.
No, yeah.
Alexis.
Oh, you prefer him over your dad?
Wow.
Killian don't pay your bills, bro.
For someone who had a dad who left, I'm surprised at this take, Alexis.
And who turned out better than me. Find them.
This is how you build stars. Yeah. You make
you wanna
stars.
You want to be a winner? You want to have a good personality? Because you got nothing else? I noticed I'm watching the Champions League on CBS. Paramount Plus downloaded. Thank you very much.
Let's go.
Get daddy paid. I'm watching it, and Kieran Trippier walks by with his son, and they're interviewing Eddie Howe, and the son's got Mbappe's shirt on.
Bro, this is...
In front of the gaffer?
After the game...
Boy, take that shirt off.
The kid is... he got Mbappe's shirt. I'm sure he was quite happy about it, but it must be a difficult situation to be in when your dad is... Your dad is a Premier League footballer. Uh-huh. A champion. He won with Atletico, right? Yeah, my man has...
Right.
He has a resume.
Who's your favorite like major comedian working right now?
Alexis Guerrero.
Dang. You gotta give y'all another one.
Who's my favorite?
Like top, like theater comic.
Theater comic right now.
Someone you admire. Quickly. Anybody, really.
This is, why do this? Ask me what comics are not funny.
No. Burke Kreischer?
No, but Burke Kreischer's fine.
Or Tom Segura, Latino.
Fine, yeah, sure.
Okay, you open for Tom Segura.
Uh-huh.
And Mateo looks at you in the face. It says, hey, when we're taking family photos, you mind if I jump in? Old like, Tommy Segura.
Can I be in Tom? Can I be a Segura for the day?
Just, está seguro. Are you sure? Can I, instead of our family photo, how would you take it?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's my son is 6 months old. I mean, he's not in a place where.
An early age to be betrayed as a father.
Like, if I pass him to a stranger, he immediately starts crying. He's not really ready to be around anyone else yet.
But I'm saying, what if you were slighted this way? I'm trying to find a common ground.
Yeah,
here.
Yeah. I mean, I think. I did think about it, and I'm like, oh, would I don't have such an ego that it would be that much of an issue. I mean, there's something to...
No,
like,
okay, apparently I do.
Yeah.
I'm already mad for you in this scenario I just created.
Because there's nothing wrong with him admiring Mbappe. It's the fact that his father is playing against him in a first Champions League game in 20 years for Newcastle, and walking out with your kid... As a mascot in a huge match
it's gotta be a major moment for you.
It's a meaningful moment for the father.
Yeah,
and then for the kid to be like, I don't want to hold your hand. Yeah. I want to hold my hero's hand.
Yo, I know this is important for you, but you know what would be cool for me is if I could hang out with your op right now.
Okay, because my hero is on YouTube. Dad, you ain't on YouTube.
Yeah, yo, you do nothing on YouTube, bro.
But this is just kids. I mean, what are you going to do? At some point, they're going to be like, yo, dad, you cool, but I see you every day.
I know. Yeah, also, like, what the kids ain't talking about you tracking back. You know what I mean? Okay. This kid's scoring goals, bro.
That's it. I mean, look, and Kieran Trippier, obviously, a decorated footballer, incredibly skilled. I mean, one of the best free kick takers. Yeah. The English. Like,
you play for Atletico, but they don't even got an H in the word Atletico. I can't mess with you, dad.
So I'm sure it's a challenging thing for him. Yeah, there's a lot of, you know, even for the kid, I'm sure he wants to desperately meet Mbappe, and it's his dream. It could be it's meaningful thing for him. But so who's like meaningful?
It's cool that the dad is that Kieran is like this open and cool with it.
Yeah.
Because I just have a feeling.
He was low-key roasting his kid. He was oh, how you like it? I beat that boy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean,
Maybe that's why. Maybe Kieran's like, fellas, we need to put a whoop in.
I think this is I guess the compromise, if it was me and Mateo, I'd be like, I'll get you his shirt, but you got to walk out with me. You ain't going to make me look bad in front
also,
of these
bro, other family over everything. You got to be like, yo, Killian, I love you, dog. Except for the next 90 minutes, you're going to get cooked.
Okay, because you're my son's hero, and I'm going to make sure you fail today.
You're going to get cooked badly like all the food here in Newcastle.
Okay.
You're going to get boiled with no seasoning, my G.
So a fun little back and forth. Do we know who we ended up walking out with?
I didn't see.
I didn't see. I don't know who, what ended up happening. I'm assuming he came out with his father, but yeah, but who knows?
If Kieran Trippier was Latino, he would walk out with his son in one hand and a chancleta in the other.
Just in case.
And you better smile, boy. I better see them teeth. So, or I'm going to be holding them teeth.
all right. We got violent Trippier.
I look Latino. What are you going
to
do?
So shout out to them. That was a fun...
Why is Trippier wearing a belt just in case?
on his sweatpants. You don't even need one.
Real quick, I don't mean to cut you off. I just got an alert, and I need your guys' instant reaction to
this.
Here
we go.
One of the nominees for the Landon Donovan MLS MVP award is Lionel Messi.
What? This will be the honor of his career.
I cannot believe.
He played 2 games in the MLS this season.
I cannot believe he was even nominated.
I mean, come on. It's Lionel Messi.
Who creates the nominees? It's not the journalists. It's just the league?
I have a feeling Tim Cook is it.
Oh, that's crazy.
I mean,
I get it, but it's just...
Undefeated when he's in the squad.
if it was the League's Cup MVP,
I'm with you. I'm with you.
Oh, good. I don't mind that, but...
Maybe League's Cup is a part of that.
No, there's no way it can be. It shouldn't be.
It says MLS MVP.
No.
Yeah, I don't know. Man. That was crazy. I got that alert. I was like, I need to ask them about this.
I wish we could ask Landon Donovan. What do you think?
Would it be a stain to Landon Donovan's career that Messi wins the Landon Donovan
with
MLS
two matches.
MVP award only playing 2 matches in Major League Soccer? Bro, is he going to be like, nah, don't even take it.
Also,
snatch it from him like Kanye and Taylor Swift, bro.
I'm going to let you finish. I can already hear our comment section going, hey, Messi doesn't need your tin pot league. What kind of offense is tin pot anyway? We don't understand your weird medieval disses, bro. Y'all need to, if you're going to cook somebody or roast somebody, you need to update them to the time when the internet existed.
Are you cooking in a tin pot? You need to stop that right now.
What you making, Jiffy Pop? I don't even understand what a tin pot is. And why is it bad, bro?
They're going to be zinc all in your food, bro. Right.
If somebody handed me a tin pot, I wouldn't even be that mad, bro. I'd be like, yo, thank you for the pot, I guess.
I'm not even going to Google it, bro. Yeah. I don't know what it is. I'm never going to know.
Bro, there's no photo of it where it's not black and white. Why are you using this as an offensive thing?
Anyway.
You call my league tin pot all you want. You know what I'm going to call your league? Pterodactyl. How about that?
Boom, roasted.
Yeah, you offended?
All right, everybody. Let's wrap up there. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Shout out to Ollie Curtis for coming through.
He killed it, bro. Why am I clapping? I got a budget for that.
As always, make sure you follow us at Soccer Cooligans on our social channels. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Download the podcast. Listen to the podcast on whatever podcast platform you use.
Download that joint. That's the number that helps us get paid.
Tell you a friend as well.
DraftKings Network as well. Always check us out.
Yeah, Roku.
We're everywhere.
TV. We're out there.
We're on your Samsung Smart TV.
Mm-hmm. We're on your sandwiches. I don't know.
We're on your eyes, bro.
we on your eyes, bro. Don't forget.
Don't forget. You better watch out, bro. You want to be respectful of the people on your eyes.
So we'll see you on Monday. As always, y'all the absolute best. We'll see you in a couple days. Peace, everybody.
Love you guys.
We are audiostack.ai.
Combining AI writing, the best synthetic voices,
with production and delivery.
Be it ads, podcasts, or VOs for video.
Just like this ad. How would you utilize AI audio? For free.
Go to audiostack.ai/contest.
Give us just a few details.
And you could replace this spot and be heard by millions.
See webpage for T's and C's. audiostack.ai/contest.